You're listening to the Know Nothing Podcast with Stat and Dojo.
What's up, Dojo?
What is up is life is up. Things are going
well. Life is up. That's a positive statement.
It is. It's going a little bit better. Just a tiny bit better. My drama of my life is starting to come into a fruition as a fold.
A fold.
Or you call it a hump when you're talking offline. It's kind of the hump is coming.
The hump is coming.
That doesn't sound right. That sounds horrible. What? The hump is coming.
What are we talking about today?
We're talking about communication. Now, that's a pretty broad topic.
Pretty broad.
I mean, I didn't really think about it too far into it. I just was thinking about, you know, what is good communication? What is bad communication? And how does that affect how people treat you and you treat them?
Okay, so what is good and what is bad? Okay, so what do you want to start with, the good or the bad?
No, what do you consider good communication? What would you
do? Being honest and forward about what you're actually feeling.
You're actually feeling.
Yeah, like I think that a lot of times when it comes to communicating, people will sort of tiptoe around what they feel because it's possible that those feelings will hurt the person or cause a fight or whatever.
But so, what if you can't communicate well, but you want to? Like,
well, that is a different question.
Not really, because I said what's good communication. You said you're honest. Like, well, if you can do it right, sure. But my thing is, like, how do you communicate? Like, the actual nitty-gritty of it. A lot of people, everyone would agree that in a relationship, good communication is key, right? But no one actually says what that means. Like, what is a good communicator? I have a strange view on it. Like, I think it's actually some people physically can't communicate. There's actually a barrier in how the brains work, the two brains. And remember, all your brain is a bunch of like
two people, you mean? Yeah, the partners?
Not partners. It could be anyone. It doesn't necessarily be people who are dating, but it could be anybody. Because I think your brains are just a bunch of electrical pulses of electricity through a bunch of fatty tissue, right? So it's not like there's anything going on there that's anything.
Man, real. It sounds really sexy when you describe it.
I know, right? You get all sexified by all the pussy shit. No, just like
pussy shit. What the hell?
I don't know what I'm talking about right now. Just remember.
Pussy shit. I don't know what you got in your brain, Dutch, but I don't got no pussy shit in my brain.
Maybe you should get some. Be more like me. Be more like Dojo.
it all makes sense.
I really think that some brains can't communicate, not because they're not trying, but because like the old adage said, how do you describe the color red to a blind person? You know, what do you say? If they've never seen the color red or any colors or seen anything, how do you describe color? It's impossible. It really is. You can't say it's kind of like this. You cannot. You're basically frozen. And there's no reading of books in the world will help you get to that point of being able to describe red to a blind person. And I think that's what communication is. You have certain people who just kind of, when they say color, that's the clicking that people talk about. That your words are translating exactly how your brain thinks that word means to the person you're talking to.
Yeah, and then they misinterpret it, and then a fight starts.
Well, that's if it's bad. It's not clicking. Yeah, and if they misrepresent it, then they think you said something. They've attached meaning to that word, or said many words, or emotions, or it's not just words. It's also how you express yourself, your body language, which is still your brain. And those that they reinterpret it in a negative way, they don't necessarily tell you that how they're doing, because they're also doing it subconsciously because of how their brain is working, and that sets the stage for a fight or a conflict, even if it's minor. It could be the smallest of things, but you don't notice it. And I'm going through a divorce. You think about this kind of stuff of how you talk to somebody and they talk to you. And
you also don't take into consideration the state of mind that the person you're communicating with is in, because a lot of times people can get offended or affected just by the smallest thing because they're in a place where they haven't openly said how they're actually feeling. They're like repressed how they're feeling, or they're having a bad day or whatever is going on. And they don't talk about that. And all of a sudden it's like a lot easier to make that person angry.
Well, yeah. It's almost like, I would argue that it's a heightened extension of that same problem where like now it's like they react to those feelings faster and they get cranky, as I say, that would be the word for it. Like cranky, don't talk to me, I'm cranky. You know, they just can't handle it. And I just wonder, like, relationships where if they aren't communicating it early on, how do you know you're not communicating? Because especially, I don't want to talk about just relationships, because it's also friends and people around town. But relationships are the easiest for people to understand, because that's usually where it falls apart the most. And I think the reason why relationships fall apart is that you set a stage early on that you're both going to ignore the signs that you're not communicating very well. You're going to brush it off as not knowing each other.
But what's the sign that you're not communicating well then?
Not like you kind of put touched on being honest, right? So if you honestly felt what they said made you upset and you never told them, that's a bad thing. Like, why aren't you telling them, right? You're scared. Scared of what? Them not liking you because you told them they said something bad? Well, you got to explore that. You have to dig deep into that conversation. Why did that person say that? And why would they say that again? And are they going to say it again? And why did it bother you? And they need to know that bothered you. May not be able to change it, but what you're doing is you're finding out if that is maybe just them not knowing how to talk, or maybe the communication barrier is that will never get fixed. And so you just like brushed off. You're like, I'm not going to talk about it. And you do that for years until eventually you just start fed up and you start telling them, but it's too late now because you've already kind of set up a stage that there's no reason for you to be upset by this. I've been doing this for years.
This is like a completely different thing. It's more so like people are acting this way. It's not that they're bad communicators. It's that their fear of being alone is stronger than their ability to want to communicate, because they know, or at least in their brain, they think, if I open my mouth and point this out, this could end our partnership or even friendship. It doesn't have to be relationship. And so a lot of people will pull things back and accept the way people are when they don't really like it. And that's what you said, like eventually it builds up and they're fed up. And then it kind of blows up years later. And I think that's part of the reason why, if you're going to have a relationship, you know, friendship or partnership, whatever, you got to be forward and open about what you're feeling. You got to be forward and opening with how they're acting and if it affects you. Also talking about like saying nice things to them and saying nice things, like allowing them to say nice things to you. Especially like, I think with like, I don't know how it is, but with everyone, but I feel like it's good to compliment your friends, you know? And a lot of times, I feel like guys don't really do that a lot together to each other.
Well, guys actually don't get complimented much at all. That's actually one of those interesting conversations about relationships and everyone, is that guys don't get compliments as much. It just doesn't happen in the world. It's kind of a problem, I think, because it's something we'd like all like to have, but we don't get compliments. So yeah, guys don't do it to each other for sure. That almost never happens. Like, boy, because we're subconsciously competing at all times, so we don't want to, you know.
What?
I think. Well,
you're saying because we're all ape men, we don't want to.
No. I said subconsciously. I said subconsciously. I didn't say like consciously competing against you. Just like there's always a competition in the world. That's the way our genetics work. But I'm just saying. Compliments definitely. Guys don't do it to each other, and girls don't do it to guys much. I mean, it's just not a thing that happens.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Beyond my experiences, but I was trying to say is that it's good to have those saying nice things to your friends that are dudes and you know, just being open about when they do something cool or if they're looking good or whatever. It's good to like compliment people, and you can actually learn a lot from a person when you say something nice to them, like the way they react. And a lot of times we don't necessarily see that because we don't, you know, we're trying to be too cool. We don't want to say something like that, but you should.
True. That's true. I always had problems complimenting girls as I grew up because I always thought they would immediately assume I was trying to come on to them. Isn't that weird? But it's true. I would actually.
Well, I mean, usually that's what happens when a guy is complimenting a girl.
Yeah. And so I just didn't do it because I would just keep quiet.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends what you compliment them on.
It doesn't matter. It would be anything. I that's why I was so bad with girls, because I couldn't communicate. I couldn't communicate this communication.
What was the block? Like, you didn't want them to think you liked them, or did you actually like them?
It could be both. It could be anyone. Pick any of those. It was.
Did
like,
you like them?
You said them. Like which? Like it was every
the ones you wanted to compliment.
They were both. I said some of them were like people that were really cool, and other ones were like hot girls I wanted to talk to and do something with. But it didn't matter. Both times where I just shut down. I couldn't do it. I couldn't say much.
Out of fear?
Yeah. I don't know if it's... I mean, I said it's more of like I don't like that... I've had this conversation with other people where I never could hit on girls in bars because I hated to know that feeling... Because I'm so analytical. I'm constantly thinking that I would like... They must be doing the same thing. They must be thinking, this guy wants to have sex with me. And I didn't want to have that as the very first starting of an interaction with a human being. That's very awkward for me to think about. That 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 is the start of a conversation, is that that is the precipice, that that that's where it's becoming the first mindset of my set. Because that's true. When you see someone that's attractive, you're not thinking, oh, look, they'd be really good to go watch a movie with. That's not what you're thinking. Even subconsciously, you're thinking, I want to have sex with this person. That's the whole point. That's what attraction is. And you now get into the conversation, see if maybe their mind is interesting so you can find a relationship. But no, the very first thing when you hit on someone is only looks. That's why Tinder's all looks. Everything's looks. And it's a weird place to start. And so my brain always had that problem when I was talking to girls at bars, whatever, is I knew that if I'm talking to you and I'm complimenting you, then I've started that place where you're hot and I want to have sex with you. And it has to be that scenario. And that's, now you're thinking that. And unless you think I'm extremely attractive right back, it's going to be a failure right away. And I just didn't want to deal with that stress.
Should have made a joke. Yeah, instead of complimenting them.
And it's funny you say that. That's all I do is be sarcastic and jokes around girls. But that only goes so far, and you just become kind of an asshole.
Well, I didn't say it'd be an asshole.
I don't say it only goes so far. It becomes being an asshole. If all you're doing is making jokes, it's like, okay, are you serious? Are you here for a reason? You know, you can't, you know. I don't know. Well, teach me your ways, Dad. Apparently, you're Mr. Don Juan? It's Don Juan. Yeah.
Don Juan? No. I wouldn't say that, but I think that didn't I talk about this on my podcast, how I was extremely shy growing up and I had to go to retail stores and talk to people to like work on my shyness?
Yeah. But what?
Yeah, it sounds like I was having an easy time, don't you?
Well, did you ever have a time when you were single when you were in high school?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Hmm. What? Is that shocking?
I wouldn't say it's shocking. I'm a little surprised. That's all. The point is that, yeah, so talking to girls, complimenting them right away was never a thing for me. I couldn't do it. I've done it even up to my age now. I've done it, and it always feels like, oh shit, like now I feel a little awkward. Like I just gave you a compliment and you said, you know, it was nice. We're having a good conversation.
What is that awkward? What is that?
I don't know. As I said,
what is that feeling?
What is awkward?
And why do we have the feeling of being awkward? Like, what is awkward?
Awkward is where you...
Awkward is something you feel.
No, hold on. Awkward, I think, to me, is when I run out of... I always have a path where I want to go with what I'm talking, what I'm doing, what I'm thinking. My brain is always going. Like,
you
have,
plan it out?
Yeah, of course.
Wow, that is not how I talk. I literally will come up with something as someone says something.
Well, I mean, not...
There is nothing planned.
Well, I'm not planning, like...
I'm very reactionary in my conversation.
Well, I mean, I am too, but I mean, like, as in, my reaction is planned. Like, as in, you say something, I've thought of everything I'm saying for the next, like, paragraph. It's like, I can, like, you say you're pooping. I mean...
Okay. Like, I would... That is not really planned. That is, a response. It's not planned. It came to you quickly, and you said it.
Fine. It's a response. But let's not get nitpicking on the semantics of the conversation. My point is that the awkwardness is when that response paragraph goes blank, and there's no more words that are waiting for me. So I've got...
That's when you just start dancing.
just dance.
Start dancing.
Just dance when you're all awkward like that. Jesus,
listen, if you're ever in a club and you don't know what to say, you start dancing. You'll be fine.
It's like an SNL skit where the conversation is going really well, it gets awkward, and he stops.
I picture him doing like that, like weird shuffle dance, with kicking your legs in the air.
A little white man dance thing going on. She's like, are you twitching? Are you okay? It got awkward at time to dance.
Well, he just changed the awkwardness from your lack of response to now your dancing skills.
And so at my older age, I've learned that once it gets awkward, the best thing is to do is to acknowledge the awkwardness and talk about it. That's now my go-to. And it's worked a couple times. Sometimes they just they don't agree that it's awkward, and they're like, what are you talking about? But
and they slowly step away. Walk back slowly.
I said, I should have danced.
So you bring it up. You call out the awkwardness.
Yes, this is weird. In fact, I did a kind of at the wedding, sort of. I don't know if you remember the Doug's wedding. We were in that.
Yeah, I remember there was a wedding.
Airbnb, and it was like 15 of us in this room, and half no one knew each other. It was like Doug's family, the extended family, we don't never met before, and we're all doing this small talk, and I made some noise in the room, and I talked about how it'd be cool if we all talked about real things, like people we met and stuff like that, and because I felt it was awkward. It was, everyone kind of had this awkward, like uncomfortable holding their drink sort of vibe, where it wasn't really, people weren't engaging as much as they could because they didn't know each other, didn't know how to engage at this point in the night, and didn't know what to do. And that stuff's interesting. So I didn't quite call out that it was awkward per se, but I did call out that, we're just sitting here. No one knows each other. Let's get past this a little bit.
Did we do a round table of what we do?
Sort of. We started and then we got caught up in one of the guy's stories was a little too, I don't remember. It got a little fuzzy by that point, but it was definitely some guy's story was a little bit more engaging and became a laughter fest about stuff. So it kind of lost its original intent, but it did. The end game was perfect. We all were talking, We were all engaging with her in the room. It wasn't no longer a bunch of little small talks and who are the click.
When it becomes like a smaller circles.
Yeah.
All yelling on top of each other.
Oh, remember that one. Yeah, that was another experience where like I yelled at everyone because like, guys, I can't even hear myself think. It's so fucking
loud. Yeah, we were getting really loud in there.
Well, it's no one's fault. Everyone's talking over each other, but that's communication.
Okay, but back to communication and issues with communication. What is... like, because everyone is so different. So having this conversation is very, it's difficult because my conversation with you is completely different than like my conversation with Mike or like my conversation with Creek or my conversation with anyone else or Clintus. It's like these are people that are all different. And my reactions and my responses to them are different than my response to you. Yeah. And so it's like, When you like meet a new friend or when you meet a new partner, like how do you know that the communication is good and that it's working and that it's not like an issue, right? Because a lot of the times, specifically, it could happen with friendships too. It's like you meet someone, you're like, oh, that person's cool, right? You feel like they're cool. And so you do similar things that you would maybe do in a relationship where you have that honeymoon phase where you're like, you'll let things go because you're, it's a cool experience for you to like meet this new person and you're having a good time. But like, how do you know that that's happening if you're in this kind of days of the honeymoon period?
Well, it is hard, isn't it?
It is hard because everyone is different. Like, what is the baseline? What is the starting point for this?
Well, okay. If it takes a maturity level to pay attention to your faults and what you're doing and what you're glossing over. And that's number one. Number two, I'd say, are you actually caring about your communication? I mean, do you care about it? Like, do you actually fundamentally care about it? Because if you're making any sort of accommodations or what's the term I'm looking for, where you're something you would normally do, but you don't do. And that's where the error comes in. That's where the old statement says, be yourself around somebody. It's not bullshit. It really is what it is. If you are not fundamentally who you are, then you're doing it wrong. But
what if you don't even know what you're doing? Because I think a lot of people aren't actually aware of the emotions they're feeling while they're with people. They just are reacting based on their emotions that are in them, but they don't actually know the emotions they're experiencing.
I don't know.
If that makes sense, like for instance, I would say even myself, like back when I was younger, is like I didn't know that I would act a certain way when I would get called out on something. Let's say, like an auto response, like it's an auto thing. It's like a protection of yourself,
okay.
Right? You're like and then as you get older, or as you start paying attention to what you're doing. Or what your mind is doing or thinking, you can start to see that like, oh, this combination of things makes me this way. And I'm aware that I act that way when these things happen. And so talking about that out loud actually is helpful for the person I'm talking to because they understand where I'm coming from or why my response is that way or why my voice changed or why, my body language is different. It's like, oh, I'm lacking sleep. I have a lot of stress. And like, there's a lot of things going on that have nothing to do with you. But you happen to be here right now and I'm experiencing this. And now you're experiencing a side of me that like is less, how do you say?
I don't know.
Patient.
Well, it's just,
does that make sense?
Well, self-awareness, it just comes down to self-awareness, right?
Yeah, but who is everyone self-aware? No,
no, they're not. So you said what's bad communication. It's still part of it. You're just not aware of it.
So what is the first step then? Like, that's what I'm trying to dissect. Oh. Like, it's not just knowing, like, the communication with the other person. It's not just who connects well with each other. It starts, I think, with understanding why you are feeling a certain way and, like, why...
I keep saying feel. Forget the feel thing. We're communicating. I know you, feeling is one thing, but I don't think feeling doesn't necessarily have to be part of this. I don't think.
Why? Your emotions completely are a part of how you respond to people.
It's not the emotion; it's how you respond. Don't forget communication is an action. It's not an internal piece. Okay, it's back to our minds working thing. You have to actually do something for it to communicate. You can't just like exist and be communicating. You can't be in your own head. You have to be talking or using your physical
body. You're
missing
my point, though. I'm saying that like we're talking about being self-aware, because being self-aware of what you're actually feeling can affect the way you respond to people. And if you're self-aware to know why you're feeling a certain way, you can express that to the person so they have a better understanding of why you're acting a certain way. Or if they call you out on something you said, you can have a better understanding of why you're being that way, as opposed to just being like feeling like you're wrong or you did something wrong.
Well, like, you don't, because okay, so they see you being a dick. You're saying a bad word, like you're saying the F word all the time. This is just a really bad.
I'm not saying, okay,
hold on, well, stop. Just need an analogy to wrap my head around this thing.
Are you going like ultimate?
Yes, ultimate, so you understand the concept better. So it
doesn't help. I don't like your extreme examples.
Well, your problem is
extreme is never good.
Extreme allows you to give a baseline, because the problem is you're saying it's
not a baseline.
Yeah, to me it does.
It's an extreme.
No, I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm trying to understand your point.
Okay.
Jesus. So
we're arguing.
If someone
guys, this is not how you communicate. Clearly, I'm doing a terrible job.
Well, that was all just a play me and Sam put on to let you guys know. This is what bad communication is. We started.
We need a third person to translate my words for me.
I was just saying, like, pretend, like, analogy, someone who's cursing all the time, right? And you have to know that they're in a bad mood emotionally to understand that those bad words are not intended to be bad words. They're just saying it because they're emotional. Is that what you're saying?
Not necessarily with bad words, but yes. Your reaction. Let's say you normally are super patient, and then you had like you didn't sleep, and your boss is bitching at you, and you just stubbed your toe, and then someone comes in the door and says something to you, and then you're super short with them when you're normally patient, and they're offended because they're not used to it, right? So what I'm saying is like being aware of why you feel a certain way is super helpful in understanding why your communication is failing, because the other person doesn't know why you're feeling this way. They only know what you say to them. Well, and if you don't say what you're actually going through, then they won't really know what is going on. And just like the opposite is true as well. That's what I'm trying to say, is like being open about, you know, yes, talking out loud and expressing yourself to each other is important. But also, like, the negatives, too, are important. Like, so when something would normally turn into a fight, it should be, instead of yelling, it should be like, okay, let's start talking about why I'm acting this way. You know, and that's very rare if you think about fights, right? It's like, how hard is it when you get escalated to have those conversations what is actually going on?
But my experience is that the escalation comes from the bad communication. I mean, you keep...
Well, I know. That's the whole point.
But the whole, my point
how
is...
How do you cancel out the... Like, how do you stop that escalation and be more open?
And I have a different view than you, obviously. I really think that fundamentally... You can work on massaging it, but I don't think... I think there are fundamentally people can't always communicate to each other. I don't think it's possible. I think not everyone can communicate with each other. I don't think it's possible.
To be clear, you're saying some people... can't communicate with some other people.
Yes, not at all.
You're not saying that all people
no
can't communicate. It's just that some people have issues that are blocking them from being able to communicate properly.
Not issues. No. They're perfectly healthy, normal human beings with nothing wrong with them. They just, the way their brain works is different than the person they're talking to. And that therefore, it will always cause a sort of lost in translation sort of scenario. And I you want to keep your emotion to it. I think that could be a different discussion too, I guess. It could be part of it. Like, what is emotional communication? That may be a different discussion in my brain, where how do you express your emotions? That's another way of expressing it in communication. But I'm just talking about the fundamentals. Having a conversation, exchanging information, and understanding that person and telling each other.
We're not fucking robots, bro. Even when we have a conversation that's basic, there's emotion there.
But you're saying that emotion affects your words so much that you're not going to be communicating it very well. And every time.
What I'm saying is that when the emotion, like, of other things play in to your actual discussion with somebody, it can definitely affect the way you react to them. And something that they say that normally you'd be okay with could set you off. Is what I'm saying is, like, we have a lot of stressors in our lives, right? And what I'm saying is, like, when the time comes that, like, things get escalated, it's more important to talk about what is going on versus what the argument is about. That's what I'm saying. Is it because the argument, like you said, is over the dumb things that don't matter? It's like the silliest things can cause fights. But the truth is, it isn't about the silly thing. It's other stuff that nobody talks about, which is causing the fight.
I guess the difference I'm looking at is I don't feel it's a I don't feel it's. I don't know how to explain this. So I don't feel like it's the two different kinds of problems of communication. You're doing more of the micro, the smaller kind of like intermingling, kind of like the small battles throughout the day, where sometimes you're doing fine, but you know, now you had a bad day, or you're in a bad mood, and there you kind of might react to like your significant other, for instance, and like be cranky and then spout out to them, but you didn't mean to because you just had a bad day at work, and that's bad communication, right? I'm talking about like the fundamental core. Like, why are some people friends and some people not friends? Why are people good at dating and not good at dating? Like, why are there people that just do not click and sometimes don't? I think I'm trying to think more of a macro of what communication for me. That's all that, I guess I'm just discussing that in a different way.
Whereas, okay, so I feel, okay. So you're more interested in the basics of communication and why some people are good at it. Even in that situation, Dojo, like, they aren't even doing a good job of communicating. They're just able to connect with the person that they're meeting. Like, if you're saying a person's good at dating, it doesn't necessarily mean that person is good at communicating. It just means he or she is good at getting the other person to feel good. It doesn't mean that they're being honest. It doesn't mean that they're being like good communicators. It means that they're just.
Well, I mean, you can manipulate communication. There's a lot of lying, just skill in that. I agree. I mean, you can.
But it's a little too generalized when you say like someone's a good dater, because that could be.
Did I say good dater?
Yeah, you said someone's good at dating.
I don't remember. Saying that. Sorry.
I think you did. I want to rewind it.
I'm not saying they're good daters. I'd see every single date as an individual experience. There's no overarching dating. I mean, I think there's more people are attractive than others, therefore they have more dates. But I don't think they're not necessarily good at dating in general. I don't know. I mean, then again, I guess.
Okay, what was the other thing you brought up then? The other situation?
The other situation?
Well, you mentioned a few different situations in your macro explanation. So if you didn't say dating, and I thought I heard you say that, what else did you say?
I don't know. I always wondered this might be like the hardcore reason why politics are such a difficult thing to discuss. Because
can we not, please?
No, we're not. I'm not talking about the politics, like the specifics.
You said the word.
Oh, stop. We can talk about the theory of politics, not the actual politics itself. The idea that there's two kinds of people that are in a divided system where they're disgusting each other and they can't find the common ground. There's a communication breakdown usually. And why is that happening? And I always wondered, maybe it's because everyone tends to be brainwired in a certain subtle way. And the other people are brainwired, so not be better or worse, just they are different, like I said.
Did
like,
you say brainwired? What is brainwired?
Wired differently. Their brain is wired differently. I just skipped a couple words. I'm sorry. I was not communicating very well.
Okay. Continue.
And so these two halves, ironically, left brain, right brain, right? Two halves are kind of not able to communicate. Like, it's impossible. Just like, it's like you can't, you're not clicking with a girl or a guy or a friend. You meet someone new. Like, I've met just dudes. And I was like, I can't, we're not, you're saying words and I'm saying words and we're both intelligent, but just nothing you're saying has any interest in me. And what I'm saying is obviously not making anything, this is not working. And that happens more often than people even take admit to happening. And I think I always wonder if that's part of politics, where like we've just over time have become a race of people who have realized that you communicate a certain way, your brain's doing something specific, and the two halves are just not able to talk to each other anymore. I mean, it's a weird crack brain theory, but it might be part of it. I don't know. We gotta do some studies.
So anyways,
you're not letting me get on tangents. This isn't fun. You need to let me have more tangents. I need more tangents in our.
Go for it.
I mean, I'm trying. But then it's like, stop talking.
No, you just said you don't know.
Stop moving your mouth. We don't want your mouth.
What
moving.
Else do you have to say about that topic?
Nothing. Got nothing else to talk about. Drink my drink.
Look.
That's my only friend. It's brown
it's
liquid.
It's a politic discussion about communication between two different sides is something that is strange to watch coming from Canada. It is a very odd spectacle. And honestly, it's a sad thing. I don't enjoy the whole experience of that. It's tough to think like what is the reason, and I don't know, Dojo. I don't know the reason.
I just like having a fun idea. Like that's a fun idea. The idea, the reason is your brains. The brains are not again.
How's
not,
that fun?
Because it's not something someone can get mad about. It's not something like it's not like one's better brain.
You're trying to make it. You're trying to have a conversation so that no one's gonna get like offended.
It helps.
You're gonna sit down in the gray area so that no one gets mad.
It's not gray area. See, that's bullshit.
It is. Like, either side.
That's not gray area. That's not what it is. It is a more fun playground of pontification. It's an interesting idea to discuss that both sides can discuss equally and have fun without picking a side. It doesn't mean it's a gray area. Okay? Because unless the question is which one's better, then it's gray area. Because, I'm not going to pick which one's better. But it's not what we're discussing. We're discussing a reason why. Both sides could because brains are, so think of it as a magnet, a negative polarity and a positive polarity. All right? They attract. That doesn't quite work as an analogy, but the two poly, you know what I'm trying to say, right? Shut up. They're both equals, but
you're
they're
doing great. This is what you get for saying the word.
It's been a long couple of months, okay?
This is what you get.
It's just like, I wish everyone understood that how tired my brain is. And you know how fast I talk and how I'm always on, right? And I'm just, I haven't been this tired from my brain side in a long time. And it's very weird. It's very weird. I find myself without, maybe I'm just getting old. Yeah, I'm 40 in a month, right? Month and a half?
God damn, bro.
Yeah.
Slow down.
If you could find a way of making space time warp backwards, I'll be cool with this, and we can figure out me going downward in age. It's not gonna happen though.
You know, you can become a baby again.
We can switch gears to a different way of talking about communication. You want to have a second half conversation? Like, something a little less.
Yeah,
negative.
Let's switch gears.
We're gonna switch gears to texting versus voice conversation. So, we live in a world where we text to people, and it's interesting because and we live in a world where we stream to people with chat. And all things like sarcasm, nuance, facial expression, body language, speed, which is funny, it's actually a big thing. Speed is a part of it. All fall apart when you're texting versus when you are talking to somebody. But with texting, you can think before you write. So it's kind of like a video game. Like, which one is better? Which one has an advantage over the other?
It depends what you're doing.
You're having a conversation.
With a person.
No,
that you know well, that you just
met. With a robot, with a fucking robot.
Well, what do you mean? Like, you're having a conversation with who?
Do I have to have the specific answer to that?
Of course, it makes a difference.
All right, then give me a scenario where one is good and then one of the other one's good. It has to be an extensive conversation, not like, hey, you're going to meet me up at Rockers at 10? Sure. That's not communication. That's a setting up.
I think it depends on the person again. Not everybody is the same. Some people don't like texting. Some people don't like describing how they're feeling in texting. Some people find it a lot easier to communicate via their voice and allowing them to better explain what they're feeling or what they want to do, or, you know, maybe even be more fun. Like, the thing is, like, with texting, you actually don't really know if the person's actually having a good time or not. You can't even tell if, like, they're enjoying the conversation. If you're having a phone call, you can, you know, or even more so than that, a video call, but let's say a phone call, you can hear their voice. You can hear a smile. You know, you can hear that. You can't do that over the text message. So text message is very removed emotionally. And it's more like, so much so that, like, you know, hearts mean nothing. All these emojis don't really mean anything, even though they do evoke some sort of reaction out of people. They don't really mean everything that we want them to mean. People use them all the time and they don't necessarily mean what you think they mean.
Here's a question.
So it's very dependent on the age of the people and also what they prefer as their go-to way of communicating. Like, I think I don't mind text messaging. I don't mind doing it. I do like having phone calls, though, because I think that phone calls, I can have that banter. I can respond and say something funny and hear the person laugh. You know, and that to me is joyful, and I enjoy that. But I can't really do that on text. I assume, yeah, they say haha, that means they're laughing, but are they? Or are they just saying that so that I don't feel weird?
Again, I love how I immediate, like, call them brain bombs, where I immediately think of these entire scenarios. And it's an SNL skit where, like, you have this person who's, they get he just, you know, like, getting super neurotic and anxiety stricken over the ha-ha. It's like, is he actually laughing? Is he being sarcastic? Wait, is he laughing at me?
So he gets like an apartment next door so that he can actually hear if the guy's laughing. So he's responding to him. And he knocks on his door. He didn't laugh when you said you did ha-ha. You're a liar.
What the hell, dude? There's probably I bet you could probably find a book, or like a humorous book on how to text and how not to text, you know, like the etiquette. Because there is an etiquette to how you're supposed to do stuff. And we could talk about this. What is the list of laughing options in a text? You got LOL, you got LMAO, you got
LMFAO.
Ha, you got ha, you got ha ha, and you got the ha.
Yeah, but now you also have the tears, like, laughing emoji.
And
you have the gifts that you can...
And the gifts, yep, gifts.
You can send as funny, like, haha gifts.
I feel like there's a meme out there we should find where it gives you the degrees of how much actually laughing. I have people I've told, okay, if I'm doing this, I'm actually laughing out loud. LOL is never laugh out loud. LOL is just...
Yeah,
like,
LOL is basically this. This is what LOL is. Are you listening?
Yeah.
The like nostril air.
It almost like you sneezed.
Oh, well, my mic didn't pick it up the first time, so I had to do it louder.
Well, LOL for me is actually just a smile. It is. If I'm LOLing, I'm smiling because it's kind of cute and funny.
But when you smile, does air come out of your nose?
What the fuck? This man wants to be so right. He's going to be.
Asking. I didn't say
I'm
that.
Breathing, I said, I'm breathing. My mouth is closed. So, yes, air comes out of my nose. You win this round.
No, like a laughing air comes out of your nose.
Mm-mm. Not LOL.
Obviously, you're breathing, don't Jesus.
No, if what's funny is, you know what? Also, another thing is exclamation marks. So an LOL without an exclamation mark is a smile. LOL with an exclamation mark, I think I made that noise that you just made. Okay. And if LMAO, straight up, I actually laughed out. I actually made a laugh. If LMAO with an exclamation mark, I laughed a little harder. If I have a whole bunch of exclamation marks, I'm basically not able to breathe.
Does that happen to you?
Not being able to breathe.
No, like laughing like hysterically over a text message response.
Yes, it's happened many times. Oh yeah, it's happened many times. Like I could, especially if I know the person well. It's like, yeah, I know what they're doing and I know what they just did, and that's hilarious. And so yeah, I've laughed out loud for sure. I've laughed at your messages at work, and people ask, "What the hell's wrong with you?" So it's
I'm sorry.
You should be sorry.
Well, texting, like, again, it all depends on the person, man. I think, like, you can't jumble everybody into one group of being like, what's better? Like, what is better for this or what is better for that? You know, like,
maybe not. You're right. Maybe not better. I just,
it's tough. I mean, it also depends on the situation. I prefer texting, but only because you could, you know,
like I say, you could think about what
you do other things. You can still do other things and not be distracted and still communicate with people and keep in touch. And so that's great for that. I mean, think about it like this. Imagine there was no texting.
Yeah.
And we know, think about the group of people that, you know, maybe your parents or grandparents knew, the circle that they would talk to once in a while, like on the phone or meet up in person. Now think about the groups of people that have circles that are so massive, how difficult it would be to have those like phone calls all the time. You would never be able to do anything else. All you'd be like, oh, I gotta call someone else. At least now it's like you can text multiple people, you can do group chats and like be a part of that, and then you can avoid, you know, that even though I do think talking on the phone is good, you should do it. I think we don't do it enough, to be honest.
Don't say enough. That's bullshit. I don't agree with that.
Well, I don't know. Speaking for myself.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, it has its place.
No, I'm speaking for myself. You can't say yes and no.
Yes and no.
You cannot.
I just think you're old.
I am old. You're going to be 40.
Yeah. You should get to my level.
I don't want to be on that level.
You're going to.
This is not an RPG.
That's the best part about talking to people that are young. You know, they can get all snooty and joke about how, like, you're old. Like, and the joke's on them because no matter what they do, they're going to get old. So it's like, yeah, make fun of me. That's fine. See how you're doing when you're my age. You know, that's the thing. Like, you think you're funny at 22? You're adorable. I'm 40. Guess what you're going to do when you're 40? You're probably dead. So stop.
Wow. Don't just get so offended. He literally says they're going to be dead.
That happens in my head. I don't say that in their head. I don't say it out loud.
You just said it out loud.
To you in a podcast, have a conversation.
You said it to everyone who's listening.
Oh, my God. Just people listening to our podcast? No, that's a bunch of horseshit. No one's listening to this. Just me and you talking. We're just...
Wow.
No, I'm not trying to say every 22-year-old. I'm just saying, like, I'm doing a scenario in my head talking to, like, some kid who's, like, snotty and kind of rude and know-it-all and jokes about how old you are. That's what I'm talking about. It's a scenario. It's a fake scenario. It's a straw man argument. It doesn't exist. You can't be offended by this.
I'm offended.
Now, apparently, I didn't communicate very well.
No. Start communicating, Dojo. Yes, we all grow old. Yes.
Yeah.
The number means nothing. It's how you feel and how you act.
I wouldn't say the number doesn't mean nothing, but yeah, it's part of it.
It means nothing. Some people live in fear of that shit.
Well, they're not going to let me in the ball pit at the kid center of my age. And I can't say numbers mean nothing.
Make your own ball pit for men and women of age. And then we'll go party there. We don't need no kids ball pit. Let's make a freaking like adult ball pit.
What an adult ball pit have?
And then we'll put it into E3.
An adult ball pit would have like drugs and alcohol in the ball pit, like hidden.
Drugs and alcohol.
But like hidden, and you had to go find it.
Go dive for these needles.
Wow, so stat, when you say drugs is stat, he immediately thinks the hard stuff, the heroin.
Well, what are you hiding drugs in the basement of a ball pit?
What, not a basement, just in the ball pit, like floating around and maybe like little clear little balls, you know? Like, hey, look, hey, it's a cool little like Molly pill, woohoo! You know, like, what? I don't know, it's like... I'm like,
let's go jump in this ball pit because it's probably still fun, like when we were kids. And you're like, we need to put alcohol into every ball and Molly and drugs. Look, this is literally.
you are taking this to a different. That's not how I characterize this. I said you totally did. What's the difference between a ball pit and an adult ball pit? In theory, yours is the same.
And alcohol in it.
Well, apparently it's the same exact thing. It's just identical, which is fine. That's fine, but don't.
Yeah,
call
I just want to go jump in the balls.
But
without,
don't
like,
call it an adult ball pit. Just call it a ball pit. It's the same.
No,
thing.
No, it's an adult ball pit. So there's no kids, so I can do like you know big jumps and not worry about crushing.
It's a ball pit that kids aren't allowed. This doesn't make an adult ball pit. There's nothing. There's
well,
nothing.
What is the whole concept of adults only? Well,
okay, I'll give you an analogy so you understand better. A movie. What's an adult movie versus a kids movie? You know, it's not like you can watch a kids movie and an adult and enjoy it, but you don't call like Lion King an adult movie when you watch it yourself. My point is, if you want to make a movie an adult, you got to add adult things. So what would you add to a ball pit that makes it adult things? I'm not saying all ball pits need to have drugs in them. I'm just saying if you're going to categorize it as an adult ball pit, you're going to have to do something that only adults do. That's all. I could have gone to the sex side of things, but that's kind of dirty and weird.
I think kids do drugs, don't you?
Oh, my God. That's not what I meant. Oh, my Lord.
I don't know what you're talking about. So what else would you put into an adult ball pit to make it adult?
Yes, you go to the sex side of things, right? You know, you could have naked men and women.
you're gonna hide dildos.
Oh, actually, that's not a bad idea. Make it. No, not dildos. I'm sorry. I'm taking my own head.
We're very excited for a second.
No clothes ball pit. No clothes allowed in the ball pit.
That'd be cool, like at a festival. Bring it to Burning Man.
It's actually kind of gross. Think how nasty those balls.
Or you can make a ball pit.
Actually, I take this back. That would be the ball pit would be disgusting with a bunch of naked, sweaty people, men and women, floating around in there, getting all that undergunk in there. No.
Undergunk?
Yeah, the undergunk. Think
what is undergunk? Oh my God.
Well,
what is that word?
You ever hiked in the hot woods for a whole day and then undergunk? It's not healthy down there.
It's not healthy. Wow, so you're saying like that is undergunk?
That? Well, I guess that's an option. There's many different options for undergunk. But the point is that it's something that your body is creating that should be washed off and is not yet, and now is being wiped on the balls. And then literally floating around randomly, and then other people touch it and touch their hands, and they like laugh, and they put their hands by their mouth.
But there's hand sanitizer on the way out.
Every 5 minutes, a little spray from above comes.
It's like a mist, like when you're in Vegas and it's too hot.
It's like a
and they have the water mist instead of just Purell.
I don't think. Can you miss Purell? Purell's a goo.
Well, you can do whatever you want. We're humans.
That doesn't make any sense. It sounds like
we figure it out.
Sounds eventually. Like somebody on drugs. We can do whatever we want, man. We're humans. We can do it.
I mean, I think that would make it functional.
Oh God, what are we?
How did we get into dildo ball pits? I don't know.
By the way, we didn't get the dildo ball pits. That you brought up dildos now a second time, and I have not reacted either time. And I'm gonna bring it.
Did react the first time I said it.
No, I was thinking my own head. If you go rewind the podcast, you'll find out I was actually.
You were thinking your own head, but you reacted to my comment.
I know. I didn't mean to. You just opened your mouth.
I didn't mean to. Wow. Okay, so how do we segue away from these adult toys and ball pits?
Again, adult and toys. Undergunk. I didn't bring up the toys. I brought up drugs and I brought up about naked people.
This podcast is about communicating. But we're talking about ball pits and dildos and undergunk and drugs and alcohol and what the heck?
Well, the worst podcast in the world. These guys never figure it out with the sale. Like, can you imagine if we were like on NPR? What the hell?
It'd be great. Like every time it's an adventure.
No, I don't have any way to segue. I mean, basically we just wrapped up the entire conversation. We solved communication. We did it.
Everyone jump in an adult ball pit.
I wonder how big the ball pit is. How big would it?
Well, how big are the balls? Like, because I wonder, like, what if they were small? What if they were really small? Or, like, what if they were really big?
Well, if they're tiny, it's called a sandbox.
Not sand small. I'm talking, like, maybe golf ball small.
Golf? Okay.
What if they were a little softer? Would that make a difference?
Maybe so. No, here's the thing. I think sizes matter. I think that's why ball pits are so big. I think if
size doesn't matter.
No, bad. Not going there, you horny bastard. I don't know. I can't prove it. I just think in my head this might be the reason. If it's a smaller ball, it might be like a quicksand thing where it actually sucks.
You can't move.
Like you can't. Like yeah, it sucks you down as you move.
Have you ever been in a ball pit recently?
No.
It's actually pretty hard to move. It is. Like, it's not an easy thing to, like, traverse.
When have you been in a ball pit recently?
Remember when I was.
You're an adult.
It was
adult,
never easy to move.
Were you in an adult ball pit with dildos? Is that why this keeps coming up?
No. I haven't been to Burning Man. They probably exist over there.
Maybe we'll bring it. Maybe that's what we'll go to. We'll bring a ball pit to Burning Man. We'll start an entire revolution of that entire event.
Club.
Think about digging a 5 foot deep ditch into the sand at like 20 feet by 20 feet and just filling it with like balls.
It'd be amazing.
That could be interesting.
I'd love it.
Let's do it.
I'd jump in it. What were you going to say, though?
We're going to do our podcast for the ball pit Burning Man.
That'd be hilarious. I want, if we went to Burning Man and we were doing a podcast, I would want to interview people as we walk around.
You know how noisy, and, like, you can't, it'd be too noisy. You could just like,
no, we get some good microphone. We can be like, okay, follow us over here. And then we'll get like, well, maybe we'll have a portable recording studio. That's like, you know, those portable showers where like you just put it on your shoulder. You put it on your shoulder and it, or it's not really a shower. It's like a changing, portable changing room. Like, we could do something like that. And just, we basically,
I immediately thought of Ralph Macchio in Karate Kid with his shower, with his shower costume running around Burning Man.
I saw one of those shower costumes when I went to a Halloween parade in Hollywood 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's probably pretty funny. Maybe the guy was really rich and he actually bought Ralph Macchio's costume off of some auction site for $10,000. He had to show it off at Halloween.
He probably did. It was Hollywood.
I would say probably. I think it's a really strong word. Probably. Well,
probably. So does that mean we're going to Burning Man?
I don't know. When is Burning Man?
August.
This year?
Okay, next year?
No, I'm saying like, okay, my brain.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, this August didn't happen yet. This year, don't. Joe.
Shush your face. Shush your face.
December. This year? September. This year.
Shut up.
January next year. So that sounds like fun. I think that'd be really cool. The only thing about Burning Man is like it's 10 days long.
It's what? No,
it's hella long.
You don't go the whole time.
You literally go as one person and you come back as someone else.
Sounds like you've been marketed by somebody.
It just takes 10 days to transform.
I don't want to change that much in 10 days.
Maybe you need to.
Oh, you don't like who I am? Then maybe you should do a podcast with me.
Wow, I didn't say I didn't like who you are.
Yes, you said.
I just know who you could be.
How would you know what I could be?
Well, let's not dive into this.
Knowing how I could be.
Let's not even analyze it.
Would be,
let's accept it.
We're
just going to accept it.
Knowing what I could be, would, if you do a logic string backwards, it means that I am not what I should be now.
No.
Which means you're not happy with who
you are. Who you should be. You're just not who you could be.
Well, that's okay. Then that's nonsensical because that would make sense.
Right? Don't you think that everyone is evolving though as you grow?
No, not evolving. There's a lot of devolvers. Are you kidding me? You know, people, some people peak in high school.
Right. Yeah, you are wrong.
Thank you.
You are not wrong.
Wait,
you are right.
Wait, what? What?
I just fucked up there, but yes, you're right. People devolve.
Thank you. I knew a lot of people.
You're not that person. We're not talking about them. I'm talking about you.
I'm devolving. I used to be married with kids in a suburban life with a mowing lawn and smiling at my neighbors and wearing sweaters. And look where I am now. I'm drinking whiskey alone in an apartment. My life is falling apart.
I just watched a Playboy documentary.
Oh,
the one. And his life was similar.
Mm-hmm.
He got divorced and then he got a mansion.
Well, actually... He got
lots of cool party.
I mean, you did get it wrong. He had the mansion before he got divorced. He just basically didn't go home for 5 years.
No, he got it after he got divorced.
No,
I'm pretty sure. I just watched it.
I watched the thing too. So he had two mansions. He had the Chicago one. And he had the one in LA.
The Chicago one.
The Chicago one. He had. He was still married. And we had. He was there. He still had it. He just spent more time there. And eventually, his wife's like, you know what? Like, we're not. This isn't working. So we should just like stop doing this. And he's like, okay. And they just kind of like divorced. It's kind of funny.
Anyways. Where's your mansion at? Let's go. I want to party with Dojo.
Well, they first have to make money. That's the start. So I have to come up with I have to steal
the new Playboy.
I need to steal some pictures from Marilyn Monroe and then find a way of marketing.
He didn't steal. He paid $500.
I know. It's sketchy at best. I mean, yeah, I agree. I know he paid for it, but it's sketchy. She was down and out. She needed the money to survive. So she posed for this calendar company, not thinking that anything would happen to that. And then she got famous. And then the calendar company kind of like skeezily just sold it to Hefner for $500. And he's like, okay. And posted this in an international magazine. And she couldn't do anything with it because she signed her life away as like a 17-year-old or something. She's like really young, by the way. Like probably not of age in today's standards. And that made Playboy, which is actually funny. It's a kind of romantic story of a company. But at the same time, you know, you did just post naked pictures of a woman that didn't really want it, right?
Kind of interesting.
That wasn't talked about in the movie at all. Or in the documentary.
Of course not, because that would put a negative light on him. If you notice, they don't really talk negative about him, which is interesting about that documentary.
No, they talk about him like he's a god.
Not a god. I think that's extreme.
Yes, but he was actually, he was really cool. I actually liked all the, he was super progressive and really interesting.
No, I recommend the documentary because I said you will respect Hugh Hefner more than you ever thought you would.
I didn't even know he did half the stuff he did.
I know, because we see him as the old man.
When I grew up, he was already old and like...
Yeah, he was Mr. Robes with a bunch of hot ladies, and at 77 years old, it was creepy and weird and kind of awkward. But no, when he was of age and he was doing it, he was smart, he was intelligent, he was classy. It made sense what he was doing. And I was very...
You know what he was good at, right?
Fellatio?
Communicating? Jesus. Fellatio. Yeah, fellatio, that's his specialty. I was trying to come up with a good bookend to end our podcast, and you said fellatio.
That's probably the best way to end this. We should just say fellatio together in a syncopated thing, and that's how we end the podcast. What do you think? You want to do that? It's communication. We like 3, 2, 1, fellatio, and what do you think? You want to do that?
Sure.
Right, well, thank you everyone for coming out. We're gonna be see you next week, I guess.
Yeah, next week. And Dojo has a new outro. 3, 2, 1.
Fellatio.
See, that didn't work.
It didn't.
Okay.
Was this your idea?
What is your timing? Who goes 3, 2, 1?
Can you not keep up, Dojo? Your brain, what happened?
It's slow, it's broken.
After you say one, you say fellatio.
How many times am I going to say that word before we stop the podcast? I hope someone's
you
listening.
Did this.
I hope someone's listening to this on their minivan. You know, like, oh, communication. Let's listen to these two guys talk about communication. And says we're talking about dildo, billball pits, and fellatio. What the hell's wrong with us?
On that note...
What,
Thank you guys for hanging out with us while we only talked about communication today.
We're going to edit out all the parts that have no communication.
We have a 5-minute podcast.
Okay. Thanks, Dal. Talk to you later, buddy.
3, 2, 1.
Fellatio.
Got him.